This is the Authentic Persuasion Show. I know you're super busy, so it was it's fun for you to share. And I know that was a bit of a structured conversation for us to have, which we normally don't do and I don't normally do. But like I said in the intro, there's so many things I just wanted to find out because you have built such an amazing machine and not just built it for an end purpose of selling, but built it because of the stuff that you mentioned towards the second half of the conversation, which is to help people, to serve people, to build this thing. I mean, it's all part of this, you know, positive legacy I see that you're building, which is different than other people who play this game just to sell it and then buy themselves bigger houses or more islands and stuff like that. So, you know, you're doing it from a different place, which is why I just so wanted to highlight that in the questions, which kind of leads into one of the things I want to chat about. And obviously, you know, it would have been a 2-hour show if we went into a lot of it in that part, but just kind of the, why does that mean so much to you? I know that your background, kind of the journey you took, the backstory to get to where you are now, people see you and go, oh, he's got 4,000 seats. He's been successful. Like everything's been easy. His whole life has been like this. And he, you know, lives in a nice house and blah, 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 and travels the world. But obviously it's not always been that way, right?
No, it's of course not, you know. And that's why, you know, the humbleness comes from, you know, because, you know, as you know, I grew up in North Africa in a family of 13 kids and, you know, we were poor. You know, my dad, you know, was working like 2 or 3 jobs just to feed us. And he did all he can, you know, that's why, you know, he's my hero. And, you know, growing up poor with 13 kids in 3 rooms, it taught me that, you know, the warmth and the love of being with people. That's why I always like being with people. And, you know, understanding at an early stage that anything is everything. People always look for big cars and big houses and big this and big that. And you know, it's instilled in my head that anything is everything because I came from nothing. And all I did, you know, like people usually ask me, like, you know, oh, you came to the United States young. You know, what made you come here? School? I'm like, no, food. I mean, I came here because I was hungry. My aunt lived here. My mom couldn't, you know, my mom couldn't afford to feed 13 kids. You know, it was very hard for her, but she made a deal with my aunt and said, you know, you can raise him since you love him, but I will come and see him twice a year. And that's what was happening since I was young. And I just worked hard, you know.
And what age was that, Rita?
13.
13.
Yeah. So I remember even when I came in, even at the school, you know, I was washing cars. I was going to restaurants and said, I want to wash your bathrooms. And I used to go to people's houses and say, I want to wash your door. Like I just needed to make money because I needed to have my family back home. And, you know, I understood from the beginning that I have all of this weight of my family and my father's name on my shoulders because, you know, I was one of the lucky ones who had the chance to come here. So, and I didn't come here with a PhD or I didn't come here. And I ended up with a PhD that people don't understand. What kind of PhD? Mine is poor, hungry, and driven. That's my PhD. Mm-hmm. That's my title because I've been poor all my life. You know, even right now, my business partner, Jamal, laughs at me because I'm still poor in my head. You know what I mean? You know, even we go overseas, even when you have, you know, like, you know, you go get like a charter plane, you know, you get like a expensive car. In my head, he had to force it in me that it's okay. We did what we had to do. So the humbleness comes from having it in me. Like I see the people just like me, like anyone that needs help is me when I needed help, when I started here. If I didn't have people ever help me, you know, with the clothing, with the money, with whatever I needed when I was young and try and go to school and study and, you know, and I wasn't very good at school either. Man, I was not good at school. My brain was like thinking too much, like, you know, my ADD and ADHD and, you know, I couldn't focus, man. It's like now I'm kind of calm. But the teacher is taking something and writing, you know, writing in a chalkboard, right? She's writing, and people are watching her write. And I'm thinking, why is she writing it with the right? Why isn't she lefty? Like my health, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So being young and being humble and coming from nothing, I do understand where people come from. I do understand the poor person. I do understand the single mom. I do understand someone who needs a chance. I do understand someone who is poor. I do understand someone who has nothing. Because even though God has blessed me, I am still that person. Because, you know, when people say money doesn't bring you happiness, money brings you comfort. But comforting others and helping others, that's what brings you happiness. Because you have to find in your life, like, you know, let me analyze happiness. Like, what is it, right? It's a chemical, right? It's a chemical in your head. Like, you know, you're happy, you feel great. Just like love and hate. It's a chemical in your brain. You love someone, you're going to hate them. Like, how can you do that? It's a chemical, right? So I would say the blessing that I had is that I was happy by having nothing. That's all I knew. So now, yeah, I need to reach out to these people. I need to give them jobs. I need to work with them. Not as few people said that's what I want to do, but you have known me for a long time. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I go to poor neighborhoods and hire people. Like, what are you doing here? Like, you know, I need a job. Let's go. Work from home.
Yeah. And again, it's what I said, you know, a few minutes ago, where that's just you doing what you are driven and called to do, right? It's not a ploy. It's not a strategy. It's not a, all right, here, let's do this thing because it looks good or it's going to make me more money. It's like, no, this is what feels like the right thing to do.
And it is. I mean, we are all God's children, you know, it's like, and remember, God gives you to test you, you know? You know, he made me poor. He made my family poor, but back then almost a lot of people were poor, just to test us. Are we going to be thankful? And then he's going to shift that. And then God gives you wealth to see. Are you going to have the same mentality when you were poor? Are you going to be thankful for having, you know, half a slice of an apple? Are you going to be very, very excited when you see like a piece of meat, or are you going to be one of those snobs, you know, who goes to Prime and buy a $1,200 steak? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, are you going to say, okay, yeah, I'd rather not buy this $1,200 steak because with $1,200 I can find 12 homeless people, give them $100 each, let them go have lunch and dinner for 2-3 days? He tests you with stuff like this. He does. I try to teach people every time I speak. I'm like, you need to understand your position in life. You know, God gives you and God takes just to test and see, you know, what, you know, are you going to be appreciative? Are you going to be thankful? Are you going to understand your position as being a being, like a human being, like here, like what's your purpose?
Yeah.
People might say, Rita, you went to the same school as Kanye West because it's only about life and this. Me, it's, no, I am not like that. I'm just telling you the truth, like your own identity, who you are as a human being. What makes you happy?
Yeah. One of the things in the first part of the conversation we had, and I made a huge note of this because I'd never heard of this in this way, and I kind of mentioned it and then we moved on, is you said dreams don't pay your bills.
They don't.
Like, where do you see people who fall, like, or what advice do you have, kind of maybe expanding on what we talked about? Because, like, I was thinking of that, and it's like, so many people who dream big. I remember the first time I met someone like that as an adult, and all he did was dream. All he did was talk about all the things that he did, and he literally never did any of it.
Because right now, we are living, right now in social media, we are living in an illusion world. You see everyone right now in their background, there is airplanes and cars and Porsches and Lamborghinis and, you know, and they wear this, you know, $1,200 suits and watches, and he's talking about being an entrepreneur and I dream big and everything. And the guy doesn't have $5 million in his bank account cash, and he doesn't own like $50 million worth of property. Like, you know, that's the one thing that makes me worry, is that what's happening right now in social media is making so many people feel as they are failures because they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they are not good enough. Just like on the old days, when you have all of these beautiful women in magazines with the makeup and Photoshop, and then you have all of the ladies out there hating themselves because they cannot look like that. if they if they only knew that all of that was fake. So everyone right now in the industry saying, dream big. Come on, team, dream big. We can do this. Don't dream big. Plan big. Plan big. Yeah. Allocate. You know, you have to allocate, automate, you know, delegate, eliminate. That these are the things that you have to do from day one. You know, find, you know, like find what you need to do. That's the allocate, right? And then you have to find an automation to make it work. And then delegate it to the right people to do it as a piece. And that those who don't work, just eliminate. You know, like make it work. There is more dreamers right now than doers. That's why even in the insurance industry, you know, 92% of insurance agents quit within the first 2 years.
Wow.
92% is not me saying it. It's the industry. Like, you Google it. 92% of insurance agents quit within the first 2 years. But everybody comes in with this idea of you can make $50,000 a month. You know, and they see this guy driving a Bentley. Like, you know, you can do this, you know. Man, come on. How about try to make $1,000 a week? And then learn from that and make it $1,500 a week. And then learn from that and make it $5,000 a week. Don't dream big. Work hard and then put a plan together. But that's why you see everyone, like, right now it's an illusion. Like, I go sometimes and I'm watching people on Facebook with, like, a background picture of, you know, like, airplanes and Porsches and Lamborghinis and everything. And come on, man. And what are you, you know, that's not what it is. It's the opposite. I don't want you to put the pictures of the planes and everything, you know. I want you to post things that you have done so that people can follow and do it. Don't put the pictures. Say, this is what I did. You know, when I went to this person's house and they knock on the door, they open, this is what I said. Like, train them, teach them, help them. Stop dreaming. Dreams, you know, God knows us, right? And we all agree that nobody knows us like the Maker, right? He made us, right? He gave us dreams at night. When we are half dead, asleep, he could have given us a dream during the day, right? Because he knows that when you wake up to reality, that dream could become a nightmare.
Yeah.
If you don't plan for it, if you don't do it right. So, guys, don't dream. Don't dream. Plan. Plan. Like, you know, have a business plan. And before you have this business plan, make sure that the business that you're in, is it a unique business? Is it a general business? And if you start this business, right, what kind of impact are you going to have in the marketplace? If there is five pizza shops, I don't want you to think big and open the larger pizza shop next to five pizza shops. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Think of doing something else. Maybe open a store to sell drinks or open something to sell something else that goes with the pizza.
Yeah.
Have dessert.
No, and I think that's great. I think one of the things that I think of when you talk about that with the dreams and then actually doing it is it's all about execution, right? Gary Vee, if anyone's familiar, says ideas are shit. Like, ideas don't matter. It's execution that matters, right? The dreams, you're going to be homeless underneath a bridge full of dreams and ideas.
100%.
If that's what you're relying on.
100%.
And so one of the thing, and I know you, last time you and I talked, we actually talked about this subject. I don't even remember how it came up, is, and I want to trigger here because I love your thoughts about this, which plays on what you just said, which is gurus. And you mentioned it in our conversation a little bit ago, but talking about gurus and to you what a guru is and your issue with so many people who refer to themselves as gurus. And just a side note before you go on this, I do not consider myself a guru in any way. So what did you tell me about gurus? Do you remember,
if you
what your thoughts
earlier,
are about them?
I told you I watch all of your videos because I am the student of the game and I learn from the people and the panel that you have. I always learn. There is no such thing as a guru or a master. What's happening right now in the marketplace, there are some people who are trying to give back, which is very, very good. And I like that, you know. But to call yourself a master or a guru, it means that you have reached a level that it's it. You can't go up anymore. Even though we all know that we humans, we are only using the smallest percentage of our brain. So if you say I'm a guru at something, it means I am it. You could have done great. You could be making a lot of money. You could have mastered that little bit. But you cannot be a guru. Like you. Sorry about that. The call's coming. You know, I paused them earlier. And now they come back in. So to say I am a guru of something or a master of something, or it means you have reached such a high limit, you are at the ceiling, you can go above. When we are students of the games, because there is no such thing as a guru, there is no such thing as a master. You are a learner, you have failed, because I always tell people that failure is the best course to success. I buy failure, I swear to you that I did. I paid money just to fail so I can learn from my failure. I paid money to fail. And I'm not afraid of failing. I mean, I've been failing for a long time because, you know, we put systems together. So, you know, you don't say that I am a guru, I'm a master. No, no. Say, you know, I have a platform that's working. I think it's going to work for you. Give it a try. And maybe by you implementing this, maybe you can take it to the next level. There is always a next level. There is nothing, you know, like top level doesn't exist. We go outside and look up in the sky. Look up. There is no limit. There is no limit to anything that you can do. So calling themselves gurus and masters, and you see it right now in this industry. And, you know, I was invited to speak one of the shows, right? And I told things to people they didn't like to hear from me. But you know me, I always tell you the way it is. And I said, look, you know, I said, how many of you guys here, you know, have been at the same show before, like, you know, a get together of stars, and they all, you know, they rose their hands and me. I said, okay, perfect. Now put your hands down. How many of you guys here have $20 million cash in their bank account? And they paused, and I paused. And I said, I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about you. You are spending more money to go to these shows that you are making money to the people who are trying to teach you how to make money. Have you implemented what you have learned on the last show? Because on the last show, guess what you did? They send you a registration to register for the next show. But if you're successful, you don't even need the next show. And I was talking to them about me, myself, and I, and it was very quiet. It was because they know I've done it. They know I came from nothing, from nowhere. They know that I'm telling you out of love. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. I am a master of nothing. I'm a guru of nothing. I'm a student of the game. I learn every day. And if anyone here watching this can teach me something, please come and teach me. Teach me. I'm here. I'm here to learn. I said, in this world, there are three people among you guys. They are the me, myself, and I. I don't know if we have much time, but I can steal like 10 minutes. And, you know, I'm sure that listeners would love to learn about this. I said, among you guys, there's three people, me, myself, and I. I said, it's always the same faces going from show to show to show to show. I'm in Vegas. You know, I'm in California. Let's go to Texas. Oh, this is great. This is good. You know, if you're going from show to show to show to show without changing your life, you are wasting your money and making other people some money. Stop doing that. There is three people I said. I said, there is me, myself, and I. I said, some of you here are the me. You always say, everybody hates me. Nobody wants to help me. You know, nobody wants to support me. Everybody want to see me down. It's nothing but negativity, right? It's you're blaming everybody else but yourself. They don't want to help me. They don't want to manage me. They don't want to hire me. Me, me, me. I said, those, they go nowhere. I said, in some of you, I said, the me type, I said, there is 40% of you guys that have a me type. And then there's a myself type. And I said, 85% of you guys are the myself. I have to improve myself. I have to teach myself. I have to learn for myself. I have to educate myself. I have to invest in myself. Myself, myself, myself. You are going to all of these shows, one after the other, to make yourselves gurus. At the end of the day, you do nothing. And I said, the rest is the eye. Excuse me. I said, the rest of your eye, I can do this. I will achieve this. I will get it done. I will move forward. I will invest. I will fail. I said, the percentage of the eyes among you guys, guess what? They are not here because they learned from the last show how to be the eye.
Yeah.
They don't like to hear that, but it's the truth.
Huh.
Me, myself, and I.
Interesting. I love it. I think that's so valid. And it's interesting because I had never thought of it in those terms, what you're saying, going to conference. And yet I've had that experience where it's like, do I need to go to another conference? Like, what's the value of going to another, like going to more session? I don't need more information. What I need is to actually use what I've learned and stop buying more books and buying more in this season, right? And then there's a season for learning and growing, and then there's a season for doing.
Have you noticed you said, do I need the I type?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do I need,
huh.
Right? Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So am I going to this show? Is it going to help myself? Myself? Right? Uh-huh. Improve myself, get myself, learn, right? Or I. So I always tell people, be the I type. I can do this. I will do this. I got this. Just go. Don't start blaming everybody else. You know, nobody wants me. Nobody helps me. Me. And then I have to educate myself. I have to improve myself. I have to help myself. I have to. Don't. Just be the I. Look at something.
Yeah.
Study it very well. See how it can be implemented in marketplace. See if there is a place for it. You know, just go ahead and do it.
Huh. I think that's great. All right. One last thing, because I'm super curious about this and I think it's amazing and fun. So I just want to hear you talk about it. What is coming up next for you in terms of something big that's happening, which also involves a lot of travel?
Yeah, I think, as you know, we always do our world tour because, you know, we have call centers in all of the continents and, you know, in every continent we have, general managers, and then we have a business development manager that speaks the language, that lives there, that manage them and so on. So me and my partner Jamal, or I would say my brother Jamal, we are going to finish the third set of our world tour. You know, we did Africa, we did Europe, now we're going to Asia. So we are going to Pakistan, India, Philippines, and then visit all of our call centers, give them, awards and take care of our people over there. And every time we go there, you know, everybody gives bonuses, but for people in these countries, I think they will feel appreciated of the love and the warmth that we have toward them from humans, mm-hmm. but a car makes everybody happy. So with every world tour that we do, we pick the employee of the year per continent, and me and Jamal, you know, we go there and buy them a car. So we buy them a car, you know, give them a car and take care of them because we want them to understand we truly appreciate, you know, the hard work you're doing because we cannot be us without you guys. I don't care if the guy who opens the door, I don't care if it's security guy, I don't care if the guy who is at the cafeteria, we are all one unit. You know, if one of us is missing, you know, this machine of who we are that doesn't work. So I would say the two big things that are coming for me worldwide, we're going with Jamal, and I think is having a much larger scale of real estate development that me and Jamal started years ago. Those are like, you know, those are the two things that are here like all the time.
I love it. And when you told me about the world tour, you're like, yeah, we're going to have to record the podcast before this date because you're going on the world tour. And I was like, what? And then I was like, all right, how do I get a part of that world tour somewhere in the future? Because I think, again, seeing people, seeing offices, seeing the lives that are being touched, support people, like, I don't know. I just think that's amazing. I love being in centers and in offices and just seeing what people are doing. And so
no doubt.
Hopefully some point in the future, our relationship and things will intersect and I will be the the third part on the world tour.
You will be my guest for sure.
That would be awesome. That would be fun. Well, Rita, thanks for this post-show, after-show, continuing the conversation, and for what you shared in the first one. So I appreciate all this, and keep doing what you're doing. I love what you're putting out there in the world, and hopefully some great stuff came out of this, and you know, people, it's resonating and kind of shifting the way people are looking at their own businesses and how they're operating.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you for inviting me on this platform. You know, you're a great guy. You know, I always liked you from day one. You're very smart. You're very bright. You're bringing a lot of expertise, you know, in our industry. I wish you nothing but the best. And to all of our viewers, you know, whatever you need from me or Jason, reach out to us. If you know, if you have any self-doubt, please don't, because, you know, you can do whatever you wanna get done. But it truly has been an honor and a pleasure to spend this beautiful and wonderful time with you, Jason.
Thank you, sir. I'll see you soon.
Yes, sir. God bless. You do the best and God will do the rest.